Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Appreciate you taking up the offering there, Brother Keith. And I appreciate that English boy helping you. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get you one of them straw hats. That's what I'm, Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to talk tonight the beginning. The beginning. You know, a lot of times we misunderstand what the scriptures are talking about here, because there's three books in the Bible that open with the word term beginnings. And I want to go ahead and look at those tonight, if we could. We'll start off with Genesis chapter 1, and just two verses there. You can stay seated on this one. But it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you for your word. And dear Lord, I just pray that you'll bless us now and help us to see some truths here. That'll be a blessing and an encouragement to us, a strength to us. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I told you that there were three places in the Bible here, three that open with the beginnings here. And this one here, it says, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. You know, it's amazing because a lot of the world, a lot of the people in this world, don't want to recognize our God. You don't want to recognize the God that made the universe, the God that created all things. And what they want to do is they want to worship all kinds of different gods. They worship the sun god and the moon god. And by the way, whether you realize it or not, Allah is the moon god. It's not the God Almighty. A lot of people say, well, we call him Jehovah. You know, the Jews call him Jehovah, and you call him God, and you all call him Allah. But, you know, what's the difference? You know, we're all worshiping the same God. No, we're not. And we need to get that understood and cleared right off the bat. Their God is the moon god, and that's why it's the crescent moon that you'll see with them on their flags and stuff like that. But anyway, enough of that. What I want to talk to you tonight about is, in the beginning, God. God was the one that created the heavens and the earth. But you know, I told you that that there's three places in the Bible where it talks about this in the beginning. Now let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, because in John chapter 1, it talks about it, but it talks about it in a little bit different way. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. This is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Notice that verse right there. You ought to mark that verse. Anytime anybody tries to tell you, to you something about, well, you know, you try to witness to somebody and they say, well, what about the natives on the way up on the Amazon River? Nobody, you know, they've never heard about Jesus or anything. Well, right there, that verse right there tells you that they received some light. So everybody has some light. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." That's the Jews. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name." That's us. "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus Christ here. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ was the Word of God. Amen? But I want you to see something here, because this takes us to eternity past. Eternity past. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, we have a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but He's one God. Now, you know, it's a little hard to comprehend all that, but nevertheless, that's the truth. And what we have here is God the Father has His, kind of runs everything, and then God the Son was sent here to die for our sins, to be our Savior. Not only that, but now He's going back up to heaven to be our intercessor. And one of these days He'll sit on the throne of David, and so on and so forth for 1,000 years. He'll reign there, and then we'll go on into eternity and all the rest. Well, and of course there's God the Holy Spirit, and we have a tendency to leave Him out of things, but He's the one that really the power behind all these things and everything else. Everything that Jesus did was in obedience to the Father, but it was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. So we see that that Jesus did an awful lot of things. Well, but what it's talking about here, in the beginning was the Word. The beginning of what? Well, way before the creation of this world. You see, this is not what we're talking about as creation. We're talking about eternity past. Eternity past had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in that, they saw that down through the ages that He was going to create this earth. And not only was He going to create this earth, but also create beings on this earth that were going to be made in His image and His likeness. Now, we know that He was going to do that. And He also knew that God, that man was going to sin against Him. You know, this Godhead was determined to create the world that would include humans made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. I just said that. The Godhead also determined that the Son would come to earth and to die for the sins of the world. Now, let me read something here to you in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 on down through. I'm going to read a few things here to you, down to 14. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Do you notice that? Before the foundation of the world, it was already determined that Christ was going to have to, we would have to, He would have to come and die on a cross for us, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, wait a minute, you know something? Hold on just a minute. I forgot to do something. I don't know whether you all are hearing me or not. I guess you are. I can't really tell because... there we go. You know, a gospel light, I used to like to turn it up loud enough that it bounced off the back wall and I could hear myself preach. Now, I don't know whether you enjoyed it or not, but I always enjoyed my preaching. Now, I'm just teasing with you. But the truth is, I think that you need to hear this, okay? All right, verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abundant towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times
he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, what is the Bible saying here? Basically, the Bible saying this. It says that before the foundations of the world, it was predestined. Now, don't get that mixed up here. Now, some people got this idea. Calvin had this idea of predestination, where, you know, it's predetermined. Some people are going to go to heaven and the rest are going to go to hell, and that's all there is to it. Well, God didn't make anybody to go to hell. Amen? No, what he did was he made everybody to go to heaven. In fact, our Bible says whosoever. You look at all the verses of salvation, you'll always find whosoever. So it's whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not just those that are predestined to do that. So that word predestination, what is it talking about there when it says predestination? What it's talking about is it's predetermined that Christ would have to come and die on a cross. They had a plan before man was ever created on this earth, before God ever made the earth. They had a plan in heaven that he would have to come and redeem us by buying us back with his precious blood on Calvary's cross. Now, that's amazing when you really stop and think about it, that God knew this, and he went ahead with this plan of creating this world and making people, men and women, in his image and in his likeness and here on this earth, and then giving them a free will to be able to choose whether or not they want to go to heaven by trusting in Jesus Christ, because we've all sinned against God. Amen. We've all broke his laws and done things that we ought not to be doing. And so we have sinned against God. We deserve to go to hell. But God, it was predetermined that Christ would come to the cross and die for us. This is a wonderful thing when you really stop and think about it, that God, before the foundations of the world, that all these things were taking place. You know, I believe with all my heart that that there in heaven, there was already a tabernacle that was built. And in that tabernacle, and had all five pieces of furniture that pertained to the tabernacle and all that. When Moses went up there, God showed him these things when he went up on the mountain. He was up there 40 days, and then he came back down, and he had plans and all that of all these things. He had he knew what the law was. He knew this, that, and the other thing. All that stuff was predetermined before the foundations of the world. You know, God just doesn't do things as they come along. You know, uh-oh, man sinned. What am I going to do now? I don't know. Let's get in the huddle over here, guys. And what do we do? You know, well, I don't know. The only way, you know, the wages of sin is death. That means somebody's going to have to die for him and all that kind of stuff. No, that didn't happen. That was already predetermined before the world ever, before the first sin ever took place. This is really amazing when you stop and think about it. God cares that much about us. And Revelation chapter 3 and verse, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 says this, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." What is it talking about there? It's saying that is talking about these people that are going to be worshiping the Antichrist and all that. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," worship the Antichrist, "whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundation of the world." So from the very foundations of the world, Christ was already slain, if you want to use that term, knew that he was going to come and die. There's a lot of other verses in the Bible. Chapter 17 of Revelation talks about that also, and there's a few other places that it mentions that. But, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is talking about eternity past. It's talking about before the foundations of the world was ever created, that Almighty God had already predetermined that Jesus Christ would have to go to the cross and die for us. Second thing I want you to see is the next in the beginning is right back there in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the beginning or the creation of this world. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, if you look at that, you'll see three things here. You'll see that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, how did he do it? He did it with the Word. And without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. Look at verse 3. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, all through here, you'll find that as God creates, God also divides. He also divides. What I mean by that is this. He created light. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? When light came in, darkness went out. When light came in, darkness went out. Now, the Bible also says that not only did he separate the light from the darkness, and he saw that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Now, wait a minute. There is no sun, moon, and stars at this point in time. It doesn't happen until the fourth day that God creates these things. So, how do you come up with that? Evening and the morning and all this, you see. This is what God was doing. This is what God had done. He had created these things. And God said, look at verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, what is it talking about there? It's talking about a firmament. The whole world was encased with water. There was either a mist in the air, and they say on the outside there was ice crystals all the way around the earth, just like Saturn has those rings around it. Those are supposed to be ice crystals and everything that are all the way around there that form those rings and everything around it. Well, they say the earth was completely enclosed and engulfed in this. There was a mist in there, and there was water all over the face of the earth. So there's water below, there's water in the air, and there's water above. And what God's doing here is he's dividing it. And the Bible says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So by the second day, God's already made divisions. You see? People say, well, you know, you Christians are always talking about, you Baptists are talking about separation and things like that. Well, our God always talks about separation. Everything that he makes, he separates. And we need to realize that we need to live separate lives. Once we become born again, we ought not to fellowship with the with those in darkness. You see, we don't have any fellowship with them. The Bible says, look at what is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 through 18. He said, "If you separate yourselves, I'll be a father unto you." Amen. And we need to do that. But the Bible tells us here that in the beginning, that God created all things. This refers to when God brought the universe into existence out of nothing. There was nothing there. And Psalm 33:6, let me read this to you. It says this, "By the word of God were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." So God created all things, not by forming it with himself. In fact, there's only one thing that he formed. Does anybody know what that is? Say it out loud if you do. Man. Man was the only thing that God formed out of the dust of the earth. And then he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Everything else, it was spoken into existence. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 is the declaration that God created the universe. The details are in the rest of the chapter. Chapter 2 goes ahead and kind of explains a little bit deeper about these things. But we see in Genesis chapter 1, the whole chapter, there we see in the very beginning that God was the one that created all of these things. And he's talking about the universe here and all the rest that we have here. Now listen, don't let your atheists, don't let your people that stand up there and try to come across like you're an idiot if you believe in this stuff, you know what I mean? That you're just naive or that you have no intelligence whatsoever and all that kind of stuff. But they think they're the intellect of this world. But let me tell you something, folks. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. That's what our Bible says. Amen. And so it is. You know, come on now. Look at a house that's standing over there, okay, or this building that we're in right now, okay? All right, we're in a building. Now, how did they think this building got here? Did it just happen one of these days that all of a sudden this building popped up here? Well, you know, we could buy a piece of ground and we could sit around and hope that one of these days God will create create itself on that piece of property or something like that. It's not going to happen. It's made. And how is it made? It's made because people talked to people. We went down to the county. We talked to the county and said, we want to put a church here. And they said, okay, you're going to put a church here, fill out these forms here. You're going to have some surveying done and everything and turn all that stuff in. We'll look it over and let you know whether you can build a church there. After all of that's finished and everything else, they'll come back and give us an okay to go ahead and draw a permit to build a building and put a driveway in and so on and so forth and put a sign out front and all those kind of things. And how does all that happen? Because we've talked to people. And the building will get built because the men will come together and they'll say, okay, we need to take these beams and put them with that beam and so on and so forth. And somebody climb up there and put some nuts and bolts in there and all that kind of stuff and tighten everything down good. And there we go. We'll put some siding on it. Next thing you know, we get an electrician in there and he puts some lights in there and then we put carpet and whatever and so on and so forth. Amen. Then the church is finished. We move in and start having services. Why? Because everybody talked about it. Well, God's no different. Amen. This world did not just happen. This world was created. You know, that one thing they've never been able to say, they say, well, yeah, but it took millions of years, but what happened was this matter all came together. Well, where'd the matter come from? You know, that's my question. You know, it's amazing. You know, they don't have the answers, but they want to come across like they're some kind of super intelligent people and tell you all this stuff. You get down to the Smithsonian Institute and you'll see they got a great big showcase about the size of that wall right there. And on that, all the way across, they got all these white figures up there of the different faces or heads of men. And what they call men. The pit down man, the this man, that man, and all that. I forget all the names of them. But anyway, all the way down through that. And you know what? Most of them, if you investigate them, that, like for instance, the pit down man, they made him out of a tooth that they found and said it was some kind of a special different man, you know, and he would look like this and everything else. Well, let me tell you something. It wasn't from a man at all. They found out later on it was the tooth of a pig. And that's what they're basing all this stuff on. But do they remove that stuff? No. They keep it up there. They keep the lie up there and all the rest. Now, folks, let me tell you something. God created this universe. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And let me tell you something. I don't care what it is. If there's a beginning, God's involved in it. Amen? You know, when our lives were created, when we were made. Now, we think that to ourselves, science can say, well, your mother and your father came together, and because of that, you're born. Well, that might be. That's the instruments through which God created them, and things like that created me and created you. But we're here, and we're here on this earth, and we're here in America. You ever wonder to yourself why you're in America? You ever wonder to yourself why you're the nationality you are? You know what I'm saying? You could have very easily have been black, just as easy as anything else. You could have been Oriental. You could have been an Indian, red or anything. Same thing with me. Why do we look down on these people? Why do we think that we're superior to them? We're all made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. Amen? With a body, soul, and spirit. That's the way we ought to treat everybody. Created beings. That's what we are. So in the beginning, God. Let me tell you something. When it comes down to your salvation and everything else, it was God. God had planned all that. But let me give you the third one real quick, and we'll go ahead and close with this. The third one's found in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, it says this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, it goes on talking about, look what it says further on down. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, we all recognize him as John the Baptist, okay? But why doesn't the chapter start off with talking about John the Baptist? Because John the Baptist can save us, amen? Only Jesus Christ can save us. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, it's amazing. This good news, this is the good news of God, God's grace that was already announced. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That type of thing. See, we find that it's pronouncing or talking about it's pronouncing judgment on Satan, and it's talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will do that, and he did that. Hebrews, and by the way, I believe with all my heart that all those Old Testament folks believed that verse in the Bible. If you go to Genesis chapter 4. And look at verse, I think it's 1 or 2. The Bible says that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. What was she talking about there? She was thinking that was the Messiah. She was thinking that Cain, God had just given her Cain, and Cain was going to be the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world. That they were heading on back into paradise, amen? But she found out real quick that that she was wrong about that. It was a sinner like everybody else, amen? Now, the truth of the matter is, and if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that great faith chapter. All those folks that are on that great faith chapter are people that believed. They believed God's promise there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that he was going to send a Redeemer, one that will die on the cross for our sins. And they believed. And throughout all the Old Testament history, you'll see that they slew animals and offered the blood sacrifice. Why? Because it was a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ dying on a cross for our sins. His blood being shed for us. Let me read something else to you here. In Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3. In verses 1 through 9, listen to this. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit here now, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So, in other words, you know, you ask yourself, you say, well, you know, those Jews, they're the children of Abraham and all the rest. But, you know, the Apostle Paul says, you know, not everybody that says they're a Jew is a Jew. You know what I mean? But those that believe, we have to, you know, and we that believe are made children of Abraham. We're like children of God, you see. Why? Because of our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's doing and all the rest. Folks, let me tell you something. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says he's the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, that faith that we got, that night those men came out to my home and took the Bible and showed me how to be saved, God gave me the faith to go ahead and move towards that and trust in that and ask Jesus and pray and trust Jesus to come into my heart and into my life and be my Savior. You see what I'm saying? We didn't get saved because all of a sudden we decided we're going to get right with God. We're going to put our faith in Jesus Christ and we're going to do this. We're going to do that. No, that's not the way it worked. God had to open our eyes. I always knew about Jesus Christ. I was born and raised a Catholic. I've seen Christ on the cross. I had crucifixes in my own home, in my bedroom. I had a picture of Christ up there. It was still hanging up there, where he would hold back his, and it was pierced. His side was pierced, and there was his heart had thorns around it and all that kind of stuff. It was a picture, and it reminded us of these things. But, you know, what Christ had died and done for us and all the rest. But let me tell you something. I was lost. Because I knew about it, but I didn't know him. You have to be born again to know him personally. You have to trust him personally and invite him into your heart and into your life to be saved. Folks, let me tell you something. The Bible talks about in the beginning, God. Everything is of God. He's done everything. He made a plan before the foundations of the world that we could be redeemed, that his son would come and die on a cross for us. Not only that, but then he, in the beginning, he created the whole world, the universe, everything that's out there, all the stars, the moon, all that. Chapter 4 talks about, not chapter 4, but the fourth day. He made the sun, the moon, the stars, all that, placed them out there in the universe. You can look out there and see them all. Amen? To this day. If you go to chapter 9, I think it is, you'll find out where he created the rainbow. And after a storm, God says, I'll look upon the rainbow. When a cloud comes through and it has all that water and everything, he said, I'll look upon it and see a rainbow. And I'll remember that the covenant I made with Noah and with all the rest of the world, that I'll never again flood the entire world with water. I'll not destroy the entire world for man's sake. Folks, let me tell you something. We got a great God. We got a God that can give all kinds of new beginnings. If you need a new beginning tonight with Almighty God, why don't you turn to Him? Why don't you trust in Him? Amen? Now you say, well, I'm already saved, but things aren't going so hot. Okay, why don't you go ahead and just turn things over to the Lord. Maybe you've been trying to run things yourself, create some things in your own life and all that kind of stuff. Why don't we trust God to do these things for us? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you for each one that's here. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And whatever the case may be, I pray that you'll help us to do thy will. In Jesus' name, amen.